I Vow. From the Pentecost Power album. Out of Nigeria, David G. Hey, welcome everyone. Welcome back to Studio W, The Buzz, your global radio network. Hey guys, gals, I ask and please beg of you to tell your friends about this amazing network. Music, talk, sports, comedy, entertainment, and a whole lot more. It's a variety station, and we are blessed to have it. And now it is time for the Eating as an Act of Worship Ministries radio show with your host, Ann Wooten Taylor. Hey, good morning, my friend.
Hey there, how you doing?
Oh, pretty terrific, pretty terrific. Enjoying my Saturday. It's a little rainy out there today.
Aww.
Well, it's going to rain all day, and you know.
Well, we need the rain as well as the sunshine.
Yeah, yeah, but I'm afraid I might melt when I go out there, you know.
I don't think so. Summer's over.
Oh, boy.
We're finally into fall. It's not as hot. It's probably still too warm for this time of year, but it's a lot better.
Yeah. Well, it could warm up a little bit today because I'm going to a football game, and I need to have a little more heat, you know. So, but anyway.
You are such a baby.
See, I knew
you left California. Remember, it was your choice to leave California.
I did leave California. Yes, I did. And I did move back to the beautiful state of Virginia and Richmond, especially. I love it here. It just gets a little chilly sometimes for me, too cold.
So spoiled. You're so spoiled.
Okay, all right, if you say so.
You are. Look, William, it cannot be 85 degrees every day in other parts of the world. If you wanted that, you should have stayed in California.
I checked, this was the Eating as an Act of Worship Ministries radio show, and not Berate William on Saturday morning's radio show.
Well, you're the one complaining on the Eating as an Act of Worship Ministries radio show. Everybody, wasn't he complaining? He was just complaining about being too cold in Virginia.
Yep.
And you moved all the way from California to Virginia.
2,500 miles.
Whose fault is that?
Nobody's fault.
Whose fault?
I'm just saying. I just need the weather to cooperate.
You need the weather to be like California weather in Virginia.
Bye.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
There's no arguing with you. Oh, my goodness.
There's not, because look.
Oh, Lord. Hey, did you enjoy that song, I Bow, by David G? Did you enjoy that song?
Yes, William.
Okay.
I love David G. You know I love him.
Okay, good.
And so I love that song. Yes, I did.
Yeah.
And you're right. Bye, William.
Bye, Ann.
Bye. Good morning, everybody. Thank you for tuning in. I'm Ann Wooten Taylor, and this is the Eating as an Act of Worship Ministries radio show, not the Let's Talk About William show.
Yeah, we're not going to do that.
Eating as an Act of Worship Ministries is a nonprofit organization. We teach the biblical principles about the body, dieting, exercising, and maintaining a healthy body for the glory of God. We do that through our 12-week health and fitness course, which is going on right now. So if you didn't sign up this time, well, shame on you. The good news is we'll do it all over again. So you can just wait till the next class, or you can order your Eating as an Act of Worship workbook and your Eating as an Act of Worship Teacher's Edition online at Amazon or BarnesandNoble.com and have your own private lessons in your home or with a group of friends, even at your own church or book club, whatever the case may be. So you don't have to wait. You can get started right now. But you guys know that we have to do some special stuff before we get to the meat of this conversation. It's time for your weekly motivation. That's right. You know, our motivations are designed to encourage you to stay the course. If you've been doing well on your health and fitness journey, to inspire you to get up and try again. If you've fallen down somewhere along the way, like say yesterday, this morning, who knows, and to encourage or rather motivate you to get healthy and fit through Jesus Christ. If you haven't been able to find a reason to motivate yourself. So today's motivation is entitled happy birthday. Most of us are unaware that there's a spiritual component to health and fitness. Consequently, it's no surprise that we conform to the world system when it comes to diet and exercise. That said, I love birthdays, so I try to personally wish a happy birthday to all of my family members and friends who are celebrating. Growing up, birthdays were always special in our household. My sister and I had parties with lots of presents, food, family, friends, and of course, we had a whole lot of fun. Consequently, my husband and I try to make birthdays special for our sons too. However, we don't just celebrate their natural birthdays. We also celebrate their born again, or rather, their Christian birthdays. From my perspective, a person's spiritual rebirth is more important than the day of their natural birth. We're born into this world only to die. But when we're reborn in the spirit, we receive the gift of eternal life. Consequently, we who believe should take the task of ushering unbelievers into the presence of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ very, very seriously. And we should endeavor to be about the Father's work. But what does any of that have to do with health and fitness? The obesity epidemic affects the Christian community as well as unbelievers in the affluent parts of the world. Although Christians should know better than to become entangled with the sin of gluttony and repent from it as soon as they realize they've been led away by sin, most Christians are unaware that their weight loss issues stem from sin running unchecked in their lives. It's the same for those who suffer from eating disorders. They don't know that by intentionally starving themselves or binging and purging, they are disobeying God's commands to take care of their bodies, which are the temples of the Holy Spirit, by eating and drinking for the glory of God. If Christians are ignorant about the subject, how can they preach salvation through Christ to the unbelieving gluttons, anorexics, and bulimics of the world? How can the glutton, the anorexic, or bulimic hear the good news of salvation without a preacher? It is not God's will that any should perish, yet unbelievers die in their sins every day from strokes, heart attacks, cancer, diabetes, and other obesity-related diseases because they never understood the need for Christ in their lives. It's the same for those who die from complications stemming from eating disorders. A person's bondage to gluttony or any other eating dysfunction may be the only way they come to realize they're helpless, powerless, and totally dependent upon God to set them free from sin. Consequently, the church is doing believers and unbelievers alike an injustice by not teaching that Christ is the key to freedom from obesity and eating disorders. Likewise, believers are condemning a multitude of people to hell by withholding the fact that salvation through Christ is the answer to the unbelieving glutton's obesity problem or the anorexic's eating disorder. The angels in heaven celebrate when a newborn Christian is added to the family of faith, just as we rejoice over a child's birth in the natural realm. Let's give the angels cause to celebrate. Judgment starts at the household of God, so let us repent, discipline our bodies, and bring them under subjection first. Then we won't be disqualified when we share our faith with the unbelieving gluttons, bulimics, and anorexics of the world. As we who have been washed in the blood of the Lamb obey God's command to make more disciples of all nations, we can celebrate with the angels over the lives saved in the natural realm and the rebirths in the spirit world. Become a spiritual midwife and help a baby Christian enter a brand new life in the promised land of healthy and fit for life. Then celebrate their new birth just as you would a child born in the natural realm. Happy New You. If you're ready to be spiritually reborn to an abundantly new, healthy, and fit life, purchase your copies of the Eating as an Act of Worship workbook and the Eating as an Act of Worship Teacher's Edition online today at Amazon or BarnesandNoble.com. In the books, you'll learn the biblical principles about the body, dieting, exercising, and maintaining a healthy body for the glory of God. Read our weekly blog for motivation to stay healthy and fit through Christ. Follow us daily on Facebook, Threads, Pinterest and LinkedIn for recipes, diet, and exercise tips, and tune in to our syndicated radio show on iTunes, Spotify, The Narrative Matters, Studio W Buzz, and Victory, KVDW 100.9 FM, 95.3 FM, and 1530 AM in Little Rock, Arkansas for interviews and health and fitness trends. Lastly, please don't forget to make your tax-deductible donation to Eating as an Act of Worship Ministries at www.eatingasanactofworshipministries.org. All right, everybody. That's your motivation for today. We hope and pray it encouraged you to stay the course. If you've been doing well on your health and fitness journey, that it inspired you to get up and try again. If you somehow fell down, we all make mistakes, and that it motivates you to get healthy and fit through Christ if you haven't been able to get motivated on your own. So with that, it is time for me to introduce one of my favorite people on the planet, Evangelist Janice Kelly. You guys are familiar with her. She's on the show pretty much once a year at the least. Yeah. At the very least, sometimes twice. But she's a favorite. She's been here sharing with us her story about surviving breast cancer, not just breast cancer, but two forms of cancer. She's an evangelist and the founder of Janice Kelly's Outreach Ministries, which encourages, mentors, and teaches women to embrace God and reach lost souls. Evangelist Kelly is also the author of Faith Healed, God is in the Details, which she asked me to be one of the people who wrote a foreword for the book. It was my privilege and honor to do so. She's also a breast cancer survivor who ministers to other individuals diagnosed with cancer. Our second guest is a newcomer. Ms. Charlotte Pittman is a native of Pine Bluff, Arkansas. She's a graduate of Southeast High School, and she received her associate's degree in early childhood from the University of Arkansas at Little Rock. She worked in the Little Rock School District for 33 years. Wow, she's a superhero, y'all. She is the mother of two sons. She loves reading, cooking, and shopping. Welcome to the show, ladies. How are you today?
Hello. Hello. How are you?
I'm good. I'm good. How are you? So nice to see your beautiful face again, as always.
Well, that makes my day.
She is so sweet, y'all. She is as sweet as pie, as beautiful on the inside as she is on the outside. Absolutely a wonderful spirit. And I'm glad to be able to call her friend. So how have you been since the last time you were on the show?
I've been good. I've been busy. I'm keeping busy. And I'm doing good.
Awesome. Awesome. So tell everybody a little bit about your book, because it's been a while since we talked about it.
Yes, I am so glad to be able to be one of God's special persons that he chose to write down my story. Mm-hmm. And a couple of hiccups. The book was supposed to come out in 2020 while writing the book on my laptop, you know, writing. Mm-hmm. I know what I did. I clicked. I deleted the book.
I bet you were sick about it.
I was so sick about it, but I realized after buying software and taking it to computer people trying to find that book, I realized that I wasn't saving it in the cloud. And I learned from my nephew, this Microsoft 365 saves it. You got to save it to the cloud.
Wow.
But anyway, I had 27 hard pages printed out. Mm-hmm. And I just said, you know what? This is too hard. Just forget it. I'm not going to do this book. Mm. January 2022. God spoke to me, you know, he speaks to me differently. Everybody is in that stern voice. Finished the book this year.
Finished the book.
Like, oh, that's hard. So on that book, got it done. And I'm so glad that I did, because I've had so many people to tell me how it has inspired them. You know, it has blessed them. And that was the main goal that God had me to do that. He wanted people to be blessed and encouraged. Let me tell you, and me, myself, I don't care how strong you are, how much God you got, when you hear the word cancer, the big C word, it devastates you.
Yes, it does.
It devastated me. And so the book encouraged me along the way too, you know. Mm-hmm. And so I am so very thankful to be one of God's choicest people that he chose to write my story.
I've got to say, when she says the C word will scare the mess out of you.
Yeah.
To put it in a nice way.
Yeah.
When they called me back in 2012 and said that they found a large carcinoma on my cervix.
Mm.
When I tell you the devil already had me in the grave just at the words.
Yes.
He was saying you were dead. The evil spirit of fear was just all over me. And about a third of my cervix had precancerous cells. But what if I didn't go to the doctor? You know, what if I had stayed home and not had, you know, that yearly exam, not gone to the doctor to have the biopsy, you know, not had them cut out. It could have progressed and gotten much, much worse. And I think your book and your ministry, basically inspires people to not wait. To not be afraid of the unknown, because your story, I mean, we can't tell it enough. You weren't just diagnosed with breast cancer. You were diagnosed with two forms of cancer at the same time, right?
6 days apart. I thought I was going to die. I mean, I wanted to die. I'm like, I was just like questioning God, you know, how can this happen to me? I haven't done anything, you know, God, I've been serving you, you know, I'm like, But, 6 days apart.
Wow. So I can only imagine what it's like having one doctor say cancer and then another doctor say cancer. And these are two different people talking to you. And then you had to bring them together, in order to treat you. How do you even navigate that? Because a lot of people have such a hard time navigating the medical system.
Well, in my book, there's a chapter in there called The Magnificent Seven. And this is a group of women that, you know, I have a dear, very dear friends, and I shared it with them. And one of my friends said, you find seven women, you come together and you begin to pray until the time of your surgery. And so during this prayer time, you know, God strengthened me, and their testimony is it strengthened them. You know, 5 o'clock in the morning, I'm not a morning person, but getting up at 5 o'clock praying, and we're texting each other, encouraging messages and words. This helped to bring me through and to be able to talk to these doctors and navigate, you know, my plans, our plans for the surgery. And, you know, when it's all said and done and we talked about it, and they asked me if I wanted to have two different surgery dates. Excuse me. I'm like, no. You know, I'm a sensitive person, you know.
Right.
No, I just want to get it all done in the same day.
Right.
A person in their right mind probably wouldn't have done that. But me, I wanted to get it over with. I trusted God.
Amen.
I trusted these doctors. These ladies were the chairs in their departments. That's just how good God was to me.
Amen.
These chairs of their departments. And I trusted them after talking to them. I trusted God, and I trusted that he was going to do what he needed to do, whatever that was in my life. And I was not afraid after that. You know, I was, concerned, but I was trusting God to bring me through, bring me out.
And I got to say, when she says she was trusting God, because I was privileged to be, you know, a witness to part of the journey, the part she opened up to me. And oh my gosh, this woman, she's a graduate of the Eating as an Act of Worship Ministries Health and Fitness course, as well as a former board member of Eating as an Act of Worship Ministries. And when I say she was still taking care of her body, which is the temple of the Holy Spirit, and eating and drinking for the glory of God in spite of all of this, she called me on the phone the night before. She is basically, y'all, food prepping yes. for after the surgery. So everybody could feed her what she needed to eat in accordance with her health and fitness plan. I'm like, now that's some dedication. And that is fearlessness. She didn't sound afraid. She didn't behave like somebody who was living in fear of what was going to happen. And when I mm-hmm. went to the hospital to see her, she was smiling in that bed. I was like, aren't you in pain? Nope.
God was with me through it all.
He was. He was. I am a witness. The Lord was with you. I think I was more upset about
it. Yeah. I thought she's going to fall apart sitting on the hospital bed. Oh, goodness.
But she was just smiling. I mean, it helped me. I'm like, Lord, thank you. She was fine. Just yes. fine. So,
yeah.
And you know, it's always hard when you are going through something and other people watching yes. you go through it care about you. It can be hard on them too, but to know that she was not afraid, that she was in good spirits, that it was all over was comforting to me too. So I thank God for what he did for you. Now after that is telling too, because every year you have a new lady with you to talk about yes. your story, seems like. So you minister to others as a result of this?
I did. And my friend, I actually found out about her journey after mm-hmm. mine, I believe December that same year, 2018, which mm-hmm. I didn't know. We've been friends a very long time. And so, yeah, we actually, we keep in touch now. And we talk about the things that have gone on with us. And I got autographed my book and my journal. And I took it to her along with the gift bag and some mm-hmm. things. I had a conference, took it to her, and made sure she had a copy. And she's doing great. She's doing good. So we just kind of stick close together.
Praise the Lord. And that would be Miss Charlotte Pittman. How are you today, lady?
I believe, Charlotte, you are muted.
You are. Yes. Yeah, click that mute button so we can hear you. You see it on your screen? It should say mute. Just click on that.
Mm-hmm.
Uh-oh. I don't think she sees it.
Can you see it, Charlotte?
Yeah, it's down at the bottom, and it says, you probably see mute. There you go.
Okay.
How are you, lady?
All right. Can you hear me now?
I can hear you. Yes, fine.
Good morning. How are you all today?
Good morning. How are you?
All right. I'm doing great. Thank God.
Praise the Lord. I've already told everybody your bio, and Sister Kelly was telling us a little bit about what was going on with you. Tell us some more. First of all, how long has it been for you since you were diagnosed?
It was 4 years, this month, October. I was diagnosed October of 2018.
Wow. Praise the Lord for bringing you through it. So what was it like?
Well, it was really scary, like Janice had said a few minutes ago. You know, you hear the big C word, the first thing you think of, okay, I'm getting ready to leave here.
Mm-hmm.
And so it bothered me for a minute. And when the lady called me, she was like, oh, you have cancer. I was like, what? You know, nothing else. That's all she said on the phone. So I stayed at work, and I worked that day. I worked in the special ed department for Little Rock School District. Mm-hmm. So every night, my son, who was passed on, when I got home, I just kept doing the usual. He always would kiss me goodnight. And that's when it really kind of hit me. I was like, oh, God, I got to leave my babies. What's going to happen to my babies? You know, they grown men, but still, you know, they always have to need mom. You know how that is.
Mm-hmm.
So I was so scared. I didn't know what to do. And I went for all my treatments. And my son and his wife, who were both employed in the cancer center, my daughter-in-law told Dad, and she said, okay, this is your mom. You got to come here and stand right by her side doing this.
Mm.
So that's what they did. And I didn't tell anyone because I didn't want a lot of people saying, oh, so-and-so had it and she died. And I'm like, I can't go through this. You know, I say I've had friends who lost, you know, their, you know, loved ones. Mm-hmm. So what I did, I just prayed about it. So when I went back to see my surgeon, who was the same person that Janice used, Dr. Tillman told me I was crying. She was like, you might as well stop, but this is not what's going to kill you.
Glory to God.
You can stop crying right now.
Wow. And then he's
like, all right. And so she talked to me about it. And when I came back, I told her, I said, well, you know what? I'm going to have a double mastectomy. I made my choice. I prayed about it. You know, I had to pray about it. Mm-hmm. And every day at work, I would eat lunch by myself during that time. And I would just pray about it. So finally, I told my little coworker who worked in the classroom with me, I said, Alyssa, I've been diagnosed with breast cancer. We were coming down the hall. She just kept in the bathroom and started crying. And I said, why are you crying?
Right.
I'm crying. I'm all right. I'm going to be all right. Don't cry. I'm going to be all right.
Right.
And so I didn't tell any of my family until like the day, the Friday before I was scheduled for surgery. Mm-hmm. I have five close friends in Pine Bluff that I grew up with. We call ourselves the Sensational Six because one of us is gone. But anyway.
I love it.
I didn't tell them until the day of my surgery. I text them and I told my daughter-in-law, I said, Tanika, here's my phone. I said, in a few minutes, they're going to ring and call, send me out. So I'm going to let you know. So I had to go back in the back. And so my friend Faye, she was the first one to call. And she, you know, she talked to my niece Kim, who's been with me through it all the time, too. Mm-hmm. And so she was like, next day after surgery, Faye to say, you know what? You know we owe you a whooping, don't you? I said, well, I just want to tell y'all because I know y'all was going to worry about me. I said, I didn't want to do that. But see, we've been friends since the sixth grade.
Oh, wow.
You know, it's just a friendship that nobody understands that we don't talk every day, but we're always there for each other.
Exactly.
And that's something that we've always been through. Exactly. And I told my niece in the grocery store, I said, Kim, I'm having breast cancer surgery next Friday. And she was like, she said some ugly words to me. She was like, not telling us. And I was like, well, Kim, I didn't want to tell y'all right then. And I told my brother, and I have a brother who's, he is OBGYN, and I talked to him about it, and he was like, well, are you going to have, you know, I was going to have the implants. I said, no, Jerome, I don't want those. He said, good, they don't work well in postmenopausal women, so I feel good there.
Yeah.
Then, my daughter-in-law had me to talk to one of her coworkers' mothers who, was a cancer patient, and she was like, you'll be all right. You know, she said, I didn't have the implants. She said, when I get mad at my husband, I take my prosthetics out sometime and just throw him upside his head. She said, so you're going to be all right with it. So things like that, you know, that kept me. That kept me going. When I stayed prayed up, I was so prayerful. I just stayed prayed up, you know. And I didn't know that my faith, you know, was so strong until that happened to me. I was like, you know, I'm going to be okay.
Amen.
And so when Dr. Tillman came to do my surgery, I don't know if she did Janice like that, but when she came to me, she said, I'm going to draw two angel wings, you know, on your chest where your breast will be removed. Did she do it like that?
She did, wow. Yeah.
And so, you know, I'm like, okay, I'm gonna be all right. So I knew I would. And so now I try to talk to people about breast cancer. I try to encourage people about breast cancer. Last night I had gone to this surprise thing at Burns Park, Janice. Didn't know what it was. And I was honored with about five or six more women who were breast cancer survivors.
Wow.
And you know, it makes you feel really good. And people say, well, I have a sister that's got breast cancer. I got somebody else. You know, I said, tell them to call me. And I always tell my friend Faye, I tell her everything. And I always say, Faye, you know, I did this and I had to do this and I had to learn how to walk as a result of my chemo. But I'm all right because God has taken care of me, and I'll be 4 years, and I know I'll be there in December.
Y'all, is it 4 or 5 years?
Is it 5? But if it's 5, Janice, I'll
be here. 5 years for us, girl.
Okay, but tell me how to get out of my mom pills.
Look, all she know is she cancer free. That's all that matters.
Yeah. 5 years, I'll be all right then, Janice. Because Janice, I didn't know that Janice had had it. And Janice and I have been friends ever since, almost ever since I've been in Little Rock.
Wow.
And we are, you know, we are the very best of friends. And I just love Janice and I love Chandra. And my children were raised around Janice. And so, I don't know, it's just like, it's family. So I call her when she, you know, I always said Janice Rose, because that's what her mama always called her.
Janice Rose.
But she keeps, she keeps me up on, you know, the stuff about cancer. And she wrote that wonderful book about faith, and I just love it. And I told her that I write in my diary every day, you know, because I like it. I just, and she's such a good person, and Janice is so spiritual. Yes. And she always has been. This didn't just start. This started long ago when we were roommates. Janice was always
praise the Lord. Praise the Lord.
Spiritual person.
Well, I gotta say, you know, it's always amazing when we're talking about something so serious as cancer where you can get a good laugh in. I didn't know you could take an implant out and slap somebody.
It's not an implant. It's one of the prostheses that they give you.
Oh, okay. Okay.
Y'all got me crying over here.
just the idea of that.
Oh, I mean, you take it out your bra and hit somebody with it. You know, it's a weapon.
Wow.
Things like that make you really feel good when people tell you that you don't worry so much about it.
Right.
You know, and I went back to work and I told my coworkers, they were all younger than I am. And I told them, I said, girls, when I come back to work, I'm gonna look just like y'all. I said, I'm gonna be out these double D's. I said, I'm gonna have some C's now. I said, I'm gonna be the truth. So, that's how I had to do for myself to keep myself going.
Well, I'm gonna say, I believe it's wisdom from the Holy Spirit.
Yes, it is.
At times not to share everything because, you know, there are some people that just talk too much. And when you speak out of turn and when I say out of turn, I mean when you speak without the Holy Spirit's leading you to speak to people about your situation, you can invite all kinds of negative stuff in. When I heard the word carcinoma on my cervix, like I said earlier, the evil spirit of fear fell on me like a ton of bricks. I was in my office crying like a baby. just all but certain I was about to die. And I was on my knees in my office praying for God to help me. And the only person I told, was my boss, cause I needed to leave work immediately, you know, to go have, some testing done, and my husband. And I didn't tell my parents. I didn't tell my sister. I didn't tell my aunt, my best friend, any of that, because the evil spirit of fear can work through other people too.
Yes,
it's right.
Until you get your faith right, it's best to keep your mouth closed. Because it's one thing to battle the evil spirit of fear that's attacking you personally, but then when you got to do battles on multiple fronts from other people whose faith aren't, you know, in right, it's hard. And so I literally prayed for them, all the people that I had to talk to, you know, that what they would give me and what they would have is faith, because I needed faith. I didn't need fear. I'd had enough of the evil spirit of fear.
That's right.
And praise the Lord. When I told them, every last one of them, nobody spoke death to me. They all spoke life to me. And that's the whole point. You know, the Bible says the power of life and death is in the tongue. So if you already got the enemy speaking lies to you, you don't need nobody else.
That's right.
Doing that. I need somebody to agree with me and speak life. So, Sister Kelly, it's been 5 years.
Yes.
How has this impacted you, since it all happened?
You know, I have the greatest admiration for life now, for God, for what He has done. And I still feel, you know, He chose me to be a cancer survivor when it could have gone the other way. And I tell people all the time, even if you don't make it through the cancer journey, you're still healed if you have salvation. You're either healed on this side or on the other side, because cancer can't live in heaven.
Amen.
I am so grateful that I'm one of the chosen ones, because out of my mouth, I'm going to tell the story every chance I get about
goodness.
Encourage women to get your mammograms, your pap smears, all of that. You know, check yourself. You know, don't neglect your body and foods that we eat, water. And I think I was talking to Charlotte. We were talking the other night. I don't drink tap water.
I mean,
since my cancer journey, I don't drink tap water. I drink bottled water, or I'll go to Drug Emporium and get some alkaline water, which I got to do pretty soon. But I do not drink tap water. And this has been since my cancer journey. I try to eat foods that are good for me. Don't always do it right, but you know, I try my best. Broccoli, things like that, salads.
Yep.
So yeah, I fall off the wagon every day, but I have a great appreciation for life. Health and strength. And I thank God every day for Him giving me my life.
Amen.
When that diagnosis came, I felt like my life was leaving me gone, but I thank God for Him and being able to share my journey. October 22nd, I got a call last week. I've got to go over to Holy Temple. They're having a Yes, God Can Heal Cancer service.
Amen.
A testimony. 9 women are given 10 minutes each to give their testimony. God. So I'm just so grateful that I'm always asked to share. And whenever I'm asked to share, I'm ready. I'm ready. Yes.
Amen. And I want to say to people who are listening who don't want to drink tap water anymore, be very careful about the bottle. Or rather the water that you purchase, because some of that is just tap water that they put in a bottle. The safest bet, if you are going to, you know, divorce yourself from tap water, is to buy vapor distilled water. And the reason for that is because that means that, you know, that they have, boiled the water and captured the steam. And then cool the steam down to re-solidify, you know, to go back into its liquid state and leave behind all the impurities. Otherwise, some of those bottling companies are basically scamming people with tap water. So be careful, in your purchases. Sister Pittman.
Yes.
You know, some people say they have symptoms, you know, when they are diagnosed with the disease. But a lot of times you hear from people with breast cancer that they didn't, you know, that they didn't feel a lump, or, you know, they found out because they went for a checkup. So were you one of those people who, you know, who felt that there was something wrong with your breast, or did it just happen that you went to, you know, have a mammogram and, or you went to your OBGYN and they felt the lump or something of that nature?
Mine came from just having my mammogram. I didn't have a lump or anything like that, because I checked it myself, and when I would go to the doctor, they wouldn't find the lump. But mine was when I did my mammogram. And I like a couple of years before that, I had a mammogram, and they made me take a second one. My son worked at the cancer center, but the doctor in there, Dr. Malik, was one of his classmates. When they found the first one, it was kind of, you know, it was like, well, something looks different here. I just broke down and started crying. I wouldn't even stop crying. So Dr. Malik was like holding me. So he called over to the, told my sons to come get your mama, cause she over here having a fit. And there's nothing wrong with her. But I did not know. But the second time around when it happened, I knew it was there for sure. You know, they had said that it was there. And then they started doing all these tests on me and MRIs and everything else. You know, I said, okay, it's there. Because I had gone to something and this lady had said that black women need to have MRIs and not just totally depend on the mammogram. So I knew then that, you know, that there was something there for sure. And when Dr. Tillman came and told me it was there, you know, I knew it was there then. You know, but I prayed and I prayed and I prayed. And the Lord kept telling me it's going to be okay. Don't you worry about it. It's going to be okay. So I knew then that it was something there because when he told me I was going to be okay, I knew then there was something else to be done. And I could have this. I could just could have had it just removed, but I decided to just take it all. You know, why just keep going back in and messing with it and you have to have mammograms all the time? No, just take it as a result of this one I just had.
Well, you know, when you think about what you've been through and how you've been through it, because you know, sometimes we have a month on the show where we ask people to be on every week in October to talk about breast cancer. We've done that before. But sometimes it's hard to get people to talk about it. I mean, I've one of my friends, you know, recently survived breast cancer and she's just like, she just can't. It's too raw. It, you know, thank God she's a year free of it, but still. She's not in a place to talk about it. Is it hard for you guys to, Sister Kelly, I think it's probably easy for you, but is it hard to share your story or was it hard in the beginning to talk about it?
It was not hard at all. Even before I had my surgery, I had my daughter to get together a conference call with my sisters, all my nieces, I mean, Virginia, wherever they lived. I said, you send out this notification, tell them we need to be on a conference call this day, this time. And that's, I told them what I was going through, what I was going to do. I encouraged them. And from then on, you know, after my surgery and after God told me to write the book, okay, he not only wants me to put it on the pages of it, he wants me to share my story. I have a friend who won't talk about her and she went through it before I did. She will not talk about it. She said it's too hard and her daughter went through it. But it was easy because I had my life and I was grateful for it.
Right.
There's a chapter in the book about grace. And, you know, just like he saved us, he didn't have to.
Amen.
He saved my life again.
Yes, Lord.
And again, I was grateful. So it's easy for me to talk about. I am not ashamed of having a mastectomy because that was my choice. I did not discuss it with my family. I didn't discuss it with my daughter. I prayed and I told the surgeon, Dr. Tillman, what I wanted.
That's right.
I didn't ask them, what should I do?
That's right.
I went to the Cancer Treatment Center of America's website and I did my homework. I looked up a lot of women with testimonials who had, you know, cancer and stage one as I did. And two ladies, one of them had mastectomy and the other one didn't. The one that didn't have the mastectomy, her cancer came back in 5 years. And I'm like, okay, I'm not going through this. I'm
not taking chemo, radiation.
I'm not taking this pill for 5 years. Take it out. I wasn't born with it. You can have it, God.
Sister Kelly said it. I ain't start out with it. It's all right if it goes away.
You know, I'm going to live on and I'm living. And you know, a lot of people, they get depressed and they just go sit down. I am not a person to sit at home. I'm still working. I went back to work after retiring, after they found the cancer and I got okay. I went back to work. I get out of here 4 days a week. I go to work. I am doing stuff, you know. No, I'm not.
When I say she went back to work, she went back to work. It was like, you need to slow down. You for working you too hard.
You work out
that tired work, like hard time. She was working.
I go to work. I get up and get out of this house. I'm not sitting here looking out the window, looking at the four walls. No.
Oh my goodness. She is not one of those people to sit down. No.
And I'm still writing. I'm coming out with a 31-day inspirational devotional the end of this year. I'm still writing. I have books in me. I got to get them out.
Amen. Amen. I'm glad to hear that. That encourages me. And I hope and pray that it's encouraging other people too, that there is life after cancer. And not only that, you know, you mentioned having a mastectomy, and you also talked to Sister Pittman about knowing somebody with a prosthetic that slapped somebody with it. Oh my gosh. But being married, did that give you pause about it? Were you concerned, Sister Pittman, about what your husband would think?
Well, I am single. I don't have a husband.
Oh, I'm sorry. I thought you were married. I apologize.
That's quite all right. But
that was your friend who was hitting her husband.
That never bothered me, because the people that I did know and the gentleman, you know, friends that I have, and I told them I had a mastectomy, and I told them, I said, well, you know what? I'm just glad to be alive. I say, and the girls are going now to the research center to help someone else. I don't, you know, that didn't bother me at all. You know,
I miss that.
I don't even miss it. You know, I always say, you know, when I get up in the mornings and I hear the birds chirping outside, I know that I'm still here. I'm so happy. And at night, I'm happy when I lay down and I pray, you know, and I thank God. I'm not worried about whether a man comes along and say, oh, you don't have anything, you know. Well, that's okay. I just take me as I am. If you want me, if you don't, just keep going, because I'm not worried about it. Because Charlotte Marie can take care of herself, and she always has taken care of herself. So that part, it doesn't bother me. But that, you know, and I tell them, you know, and I said, well, you know, I buy real pretty bras, because they have them, and I don't have cleavage like I used to have, but that's all right. I don't even miss that. Right. You know, I'm like Janice. I'm just glad to be alive.
Amen. You know,
and that's it, the life that I have. I lost a son who took cancer, but he had a sarcoma on his leg that metastasized to his lung. And I lost him, but I know God gave him to me for that length of time that I had him. Amen. So I was able to accept it, but he left me here. We have someone else, you know, and I encourage people, and I'm working the Eastern Star, and I encourage those young women to have mammograms, and I've spoken to them about breast cancer, even in men, you know, I tell them about that men can have breast cancer, because I was talking to a lady not too long ago at the doctor's office, and she said that she had, her mother had it, and two of her brothers had it, you know, breast cancer. It was genetic wise, so I encouraged my son and my niece to also go get a check, you know, for genes to make sure that it wasn't in our genes to have cancer, because I lost a cousin and an aunt to a pancreatic cancer. So I just wanted to make sure. So my sister, who is a retired nurse, who, you know, she knows everything, but you can't, you know, she's...
She knows everything, huh?
She knows everything, you know, and I don't bother her, you know, but she gets her mammogram because she just, you know, she just had it. I came from a medical family, and so they all try to tell me stuff. You know, my brother, he's a retired scrub, and he worried about me more than anyone, but he's always been there for me, my brother Ronnie. And my brother, that's the physician, he teaches at Baylor School of Medicine now. And so he checks on me all the time, and he tells me different things. And my daughter and my son, so I'm good with it, you know, about what I should and what I shouldn't do.
You know, you mentioned something that's a hot topic, because a lot of people – have, including celebrities, have been going to get genetic testing to see if they have breast cancer markers. And some of them even though they have not been diagnosed with breast cancer, have been getting their breast removed prevent it.
Yes.
What is it, you know, what's your feelings on that? I mean, because for me, it's like, okay, having a genetic marker and having breast cancer are two totally different things. I don't think I would rush to do it, but I can see how someone, you know, who has had a lot of family members with it might be concerned. So Sister Kelly, what is your advice to someone who is thinking about having that testing done? And if they get it done and it's positive, you know, whether or not they should have their breast removed?
I think the testing is good, but it's premature for you to have your breasts removed. To me, that's saying you have a certain amount of fear in you because, you know, it's up to God whether, even if the gene is found, it's up to God whether the cancer shows up or not. Mm-hmm. So I think that people that do this, they're acting prematurely. Mm-hmm. And I don't think there are people of our race that are doing it. No, from what I've read some accounts and they were not people of our race. Nah,
you're right.
Put that out there.
You're right.
Yeah,
you're
I read about several people some years ago. I read about it. I'm like, what? But it's fear. You know, it's fear.
Right.
It's fear.
Right.
So we just, you know.
Right.
You know, I want to say this, and I know what my ministry mantle is, but Jeremiah 29:11, I also live by that, you know.
Amen.
God has told us, I know the plans I have for you, you know, plans to prosper you, not to harm you, to give you hope and a future.
Amen.
I have hope and a future.
Amen. Yes. Amen. I'm not quite sure how we got somebody else on our line.
That's my friend. That's my friend, Fayola.
Oh,
it is. That's my friend.
Oh, well, how are you, lady?
I'm doing great. I just came on to support you, ladies. Y'all have sent me the link.
Well, thank you.
That's one of the sensational fifth ends. That's one of my cheerleaders right there.
We're glad to have you with us. Thank you so much.
But you know what? This is something that all ladies can learn from. And I told Shala to send me the link because I would be more than happy to support. You know, because it's, none of us are above getting anything. But we should be, as she say, cheerleaders one for another.
Amen.
Well, thank you for your support and for tuning in. We hope you guys will share with your followers. Unfortunately, we only have 6 minutes left. Doesn't time just go by when you're having a wonderful conversation?
Yes. Oh, this should have been a 2-hour show.
Well, you know, it could be because we've got the Teens Talk Truth radio show coming up right after this, and they're going to have a very important conversation with a school board candidate about why teens should be more proactive about knowing what's going on with their school boards, given how it's directly affecting them, the political situations affecting them. So we won't be able to stay on much longer. So before we go, I'd like for the two of you, you know, to give your parting advice to those who are, you know, recently diagnosed with breast cancer, you know, about to undergo surgery or chemo. And for those, you know, who have it in their family and are concerned, about, you know, whether they should be tested, you know, and perhaps even being fearful that they may be, diagnosed with it themselves in the future. Sister Pittman, we'll start with you.
Well, I believe that everyone who is diagnosed with breast cancer should go and take care of your body. If it takes you to have a lumpectomy, if you need to have a mastectomy, if you need a bilateral like I had, and for those who are listening, bilateral is both of your breasts are removed. And you got to stay prayed up and have faith and find people that are positive in your life. You don't want negative people in your life when you have breast cancer. You want somebody positive, somebody who can tell you, you know, it's going to be okay, don't worry about it. And like I said, Theola is one of my cheerleaders because Faye has always been there to support me. All of them have, but me and Theola talk more than the rest of them do. And everything I do, I share with her with breast cancer because she knows other people that have it, and she always referred to me as to what I am doing. So, and I talk to Janice Rose all the time, so.
Janice Rose, you done said something. Janice Rose.
I talk to Janice Rose all the time. She's been my friend for as long as I've been in Little Rock, which is over 50 years. So, I want you to go on and take care of your bodies.
Amen. Sister Kelly?
I would like to encourage women, as she said, to take care of your body. If you've been newly diagnosed, you talk to somebody about it. You know, this is what helps bring on depression, that you hold things in, but find someone that you can talk to about it. And I want to encourage women, as an evangelist and a cancer survivor, you can find me on Facebook. If I can be of help to you, I will pray with you. I'll talk to you. I don't care if it's 3 o'clock in the morning. If you need me to talk to you, I will do that. But find me on Facebook and I'll be glad to talk to anyone who's been diagnosed.
And you can also read her book, which tells you the journey and gets you through it. Tell them how they can get your book and the title.
It is on Amazon. The title is Faith Healed, God is in the Details. And you might want to say, well, how can God be in the details and I've been diagnosed with cancer? Well, he was in the details before you were diagnosed.
Amen.
And that's why you have to trust him. So it's on Amazon. You can find it on Amazon. I do have copies. If you want to contact me, I can get you copies. I try to keep copies because people are always asking me, how can I get one of your books? Well, I try to keep some copies on hand. I've got some in my car and, you know, and I'll be taking some with me on October 22nd to this service. Yes, God can heal cancer.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, ladies, so much for gracing us with your beautiful presence and for sharing your inspirational divine testimonies of healing through Christ. We appreciate you, your courage. We appreciate you sharing, and we ask God to continue to bless your ministries of helping other people. But that's our time. I gotta get out of the way.
Thank you for coming.
I enjoyed you, ladies. I enjoyed it.
Thank you.
All right, it's time for the Teens Talk Truth Radio Show, hosted by my favorite young men on the planet, my sons, AJ and Alex Taylor. They discuss hot topics affecting teens in society today. Their special guest is going to be Miss Charletta Beringer Brown. She's running for school board in Virginia, and she's going to talk to the boys about why teens need to be more concerned about who the local politicians are on their school board. So let's keep it locked right here, everybody. We'll be back in just a moment with the Teens Talk Truth Radio Show. And don't forget to tune in tomorrow night at 5 o'clock PM Central Time for the Boomerang Radio Show, where we discuss whatever mental health crisis William is having at the moment.
Okay.
It's the rain.
Okay, so you had to go there, didn't you, Ann? You did.
I did.
Okay. All right. Okay. I'm going to leave it right there. I'm just going to leave it right there. All right. But what an excellent show. Ladies, enjoyed all of you. It is a healthy conversation. I'm sure we'll be talking a little bit about this tomorrow on the Boomerang Radio Show. And whatever Ann has gotten me angry about, so we're going to talk about that as well. So stay tuned for Teens Talk Truth on Studio W, The Buzz, your global radio network. And coming up, we've got a special guest, like Ann says, it's Dr. Charletta Beringer Brown, and she's going to give us some information, information you may be aware of, and a lot you may not. So keep it locked right here on The Buzz, Studio W, your global radio network.